Yeah, yep. I'm looking at the look on the boy's face here.
This he's alive.
Like I just he's know
the for the first time.
Rob Springer.
I just picture the kids doing one of these. Or it's like the gif of the boy looking at the computer and then hitting them with that.
They're both doing. He's doing that. And he's like, I saw tits today. Boobs. Boobs.
Oh, you want to talk about progress? Here's somebody else in this comments. I remember when we were in the MUS, a girl took off her shirt. She was still wearing a bra. The fans all around her booed her until she was so embarrassed she left the stands. I guess we as fans need to decide what we'll put up with. Yes, ma'am, I guess they have decided. Progress is a beautiful thing.
Were they booing or were they boobs?
Boobs.
Cue play-by-play announcer. They're actually saying boobs.
Yes, exactly.
This is amazing.
Oh yeah, just like I could just see the director in the truck, right? Like, yeah, I got a couple of crowd shots. Yeah, don't get that. Wait, who's working camera three? Horny Dan. No, no. Why did we put Horny Dan on the crew? No.
We brought him to Utah. We thought it was safe.
Well, the problem is we tried Horny Dan on the mascots last week, and that was way worse than this.
This woman has 72,000 followers.
Yeah. She's a mean white lady on Instagram.
Yeah.
She gave her job as YouTube advocate, so I knew this was going to be an adventure, but I hadn't actually checked her social.
Does it mean advocating for YouTube? The
not,
unfair criticisms
it's YouTube,
against YouTube.
Not boob tube.
Like she's a god and family advocate. She's God's attorney.
What?
Her YouTube bio listener is God and family advocate.
She's God's paralegal.
To the Shutdown Full Cast. What do you give that one? That's like a. I think that was a 9 out of 10. That was
I
solid.
Think it was above average.
Why do you ask us and then give yourself your own rating? Like,
yeah,
it doesn't give us a chance to. Now, if I say it's an 8, I'm an asshole.
You're biasing
this isn't
the judges.
Thinking Out Loud though. Mondays at 7 on the SEC Network, Spencer.
That's correct. With my co-host Richard Johnson,
we're
available
not here for you.
Follow series DVR. No, that's just me setting the baseline so that Ryan does look bad, right? Ryan's already thinking of a rating that he's going to do, and I immediately sidetrack that. That is how I win.
That's the collaborative effort of podcasting right here, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm just glad that we've all realized that talking about the thing is funnier than the thing. That's definitely always the case.
I don't even know what the thing is anymore.
Welcome to the internet's only college football podcast. So glad I could answer that question. I am Spencer Hall. Joining me, as always, Ryan Nanny from Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, I have a question for you, Ryan. Did you eat today?
Yeah, I ate today, Spencer.
Okay, good. That was all I wanted to ask. That's it. Did you have a kind of? Did you have some bread with it?
I had a peanut butter sandwich at lunch.
Okay.
On bread, not on a biscuit, if that's right. What you're wondering.
I wasn't going to mention, you know, biscuits at all. But now that you did.
I brought you lunch.
Why is Nashville so biscuit specific to you?
Yeah, I've been wondering this for a couple months now.
He just wants to do that stupid fucking voice.
Is that all it is?
Yes.
No.
He just wants to do the stupid fucking voice.
It's not that. I just, you know.
I said this in writing. I'll say it out loud. I would rather you go back to Ricky Gervais doing Black Mirror than ever hear your biscuit voice ever again.
I'm so
ask
tempted
me
to go
as
eight,
Ricky
eight
Gervais.
Directions.
Ask me as Ricky Gervais if I had a biscuit today.
You have to ask it in the have I triggered you voice.
Yeah. What if your biscuit was a cell phone? And what is
well, he's right. That is much better.
Yep, it's fine. Yeah. It doesn't even hurt now.
And what
it's
if
great.
The government had both of them right here? Also joining us.
This is like almost Michael Caine. You're trending.
Yeah, it's got to go more. It's fine. It's got to go more like They don't want
well, I've been
to
doing a lot of
this.
I've been doing a lot of Warhammer with the kids, so like the orc voice is bleeding over, right? Yeah, with the kids, not by myself talking
to models.
Are you
a big character voice guy?
Absolutely. The kids love that. 100%. If you're playing, you got to swap out. You got to do a voice.
Do you do a British voice?
Hagrid. I will tell you that. He does a really good Hagrid.
Yeah, okay. I do a really good Hagrid.
The orcs
if you're
are
lucky,
are
I'll
very,
ask if you ate a biscuit in it.
Yeah, the orcs all talk like chimney sweeps. So
it
yeah.
is
a natural fit.
I do kind of, I know we've sort of long ago decided that any movie about ancient white culture, like ancient Romans, whatever, you're going to use an English accent for. I do think it would be funny if we used like a stereotypical Italian accent for it instead.
Yes.
I would really like to see these movies about like gladiators and shit, and they're all like, hey, we who are about to die salute you.
We could put Oliver Platt in more of them then, and I think that's a net positive for everyone.
Yes. Yeah, Three Musketeers. Everybody's in a fucking English. It's very funny that we were like, who should play Cardinal Richelieu? The most English-accented man in the world, Tim Curry.
Tim Curry should play every villain, though, to be fair.
Yes.
Like, prime Tim Curry.
Yeah.
When he popped up in Red Alert, Commander Cocker, I was like, Yes.
I have a news item specific to the interest of this podcast.
About Tim Curry? I got worried. I'm glad it's not about Tim Curry.
Investigators have seized 27 antiquities from the Metropolitan Museum of Art over the last 6 months. And they're going to be repatriated to their countries and whatnot. But international art crime is fashionable again. The Manhattan District Attorney's Office has obtained 9 warrants to seize objects from the Met since 2017.
That's the best.
I'm so excited. There's a terracotta drinking cup called a Kylix from Greece. It is valued at $1.2 million. So this is all going back to like the golden age of heisting, right? The mm-hmm. Met purchased it in 1979 from a gallery in Italy who began dealing in antiquities in the 70s and was first investigated by the Italian government for illegal practices in 2001. And apparently like 9 items on display in the Met were bought from this guy and were all smuggled. Excellent.
This is the best part because it's literally like a New York, I know a guy
yes!
thing, except the guy is the Met. Yeah, yeah. I know a guy who can get you some Greek antiquities. Who? Yeah, it's the Met.
If anybody's in New York and goes to the Met a lot, tell us what the plaques that they put up say, like in place of where these used to be. Do they just rotate stuff in?
We stole this.
Cambodian officials, meanwhile, are pressing the Met to return antiquities that they believe were looted. I'm betting they're correct. Anyway, so we're there's something about repatriation that thrills me just as much as a good heist movie because it's like reverse looting.
We should have a movie about Art Interpol. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Interpol.
Interpottery.
Look at there.
Interpart.
There it is. There it is.
Anyway, sorry, I had to get our weekly Hobby Lobby recommended allowance in there.
Hobby Lobby and the Metropolitan Museum of Art. Two institutions that are exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. We're here to steal the antiquities of ancient Sumeria.
The Hobby Lobby Gala. That's what I need to see.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
You remember that part when Harry met Sally
something.
When they go on a date to Hobby Lobby? You remember that, of course.
Sorry, the only Harry we recognize on this podcast is Harry Styles, but not in a good way.
I am also now remembering the children's book. I think it's from the Mix-Up Files of Mrs. Besley Frankweiler. The central premise of which is a child runs away from home and successfully sleeps in the Met without the Met knowing for mm-hmm. like a month.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what like YA books are like now, but I hope they're as batshit as the ones we like. Between that and Hatchet, it was a lot of like, hey man, shit's gonna get real. You better be ready to survive out there in the world without your stupid parents.
Well,
yeah, that's pretty much the starting premise of every YA book is like,
okay,
parents are fake.
Good.
The reverse read on all of this is that children beholding the adult world are like, yeah, this is all going to fall apart. You guys are really irresponsible yep. and no one's in charge.
Yep.
I'm going to end up living on my own side of a mountain, literally. That is the premise and title of a very popular YA book at one point. So, yeah. I want to go back to one point, by the way. Why do people in the future, like when we do movies about the future, why do they never have Southern accents? Like, can you have, like, I want to see a movie about the future. Why everybody has
bad news. let's prove the rule by noting the exception, the expanse where everyone on Mars has a Texas accent. Because as soon as Mars is colonized, everyone in Texas says, "Hoo-wee, I bet there's oil up there."
Plus, Mississippi can't participate in the future because all their money's going to illegal volleyball facilities. So,
okay. I'm concerned that this makes Brett Favre a secret feminist. I know that's wrong.
I think it's not a secret.
Very secret.
Yeah.
I'm worried about it.
That disguise is thorough.
Like, is this reparations to ladies?
You should be his lawyer. Like, his lawyer,
yeah.
His lawyer to date has been like, Brett Favre has done nothing, and whatever he did, it wasn't wrong. And instead, Brett Favre should be saying, like, yes, it was fraud, but it was to break the cycle of misogyny.
That I perpetuated.
That I participate in. But only I, as one of the participants of this system, can help dismantle it.
I had to do it in order to gain credibility with the patriarchy that I am now dismantling.
That's right. That's right.
What's Ted DiBiase's defense? Because we should remember.
Dick.
Just
money.
In case you weren't. Yeah.
There was money.
I'm the million-dollar man.
What was I supposed to do? You can't name me the million-dollar man and expect me not to take the $1 million.
Nominative determinism is not fraud.
In fact, it's a disability, and I would like to claim it as such under the ADA.
telling the million-dollar man he can't take the $1 million is ableism.
It's a HIPAA violation for you to ask to see my bank accounts.
Nobody said the million-dollar man wanted to be the million-dollar man.
Fly casual, man.
What happened to free will?
Oh, did you guys see the dude who just walked onto the field in the LSU game? Like,
yes.
The most casual streaker I've ever seen. Like, he was ambling.
Just enjoyed a nice day. Admiring the fescue. That's what he was doing.
And I mean, he got taken away, but even while being taken away, he was clearly very vibes forward.
Yeah. He wasn't a field stormer. He was like a field sun shower.
He just strolled.
I think he took the field with as much passion and decisiveness and commitment as Brian Kelly himself. He looked like Brian Kelly during a crucial fourth quarter moment, just sort of standing there.
I'm looking at the video that Seth Lewis had posted, and even while he's being escorted away, it kind of looks like he's saying to the security guards, like, oh, you can really feel fall in the air, huh?
Yeah. It's nice, right? Like September, right, man?
Y'all, we're so close to hoodies and shorts weather. What temperature do you think is hoodies and shorts weather?
Yeah,
like, as soon as it hits 65, I'm like, that's all the excuse I need.
Yeah, man.
It's also important because it's also like it's boots and shorts weather for the girls and whoa.
Am I right, bro?
I love it when the ladies wear those big hats, you know? When it's Christian autumn and they wear their big Christian hats.
I don't know why this is his voice, but it is. It absolutely is.
Because, like, he can't have a passionate voice, you know? Mm-mm.
No, he's all about vibes. Like, by the way, I noticed, too, this is I've seen this with a couple of different streakers and or field stormers. After numerous videos of bystanders and or security absolutely leveling field stormers or streakers, there's a new approach of the minute they get close to you, you put out the hands and go, whoa, 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 I'm not ended up in that video. I'm good. You can go ahead and just take
it. Watching the video, it's like, how long did this go on? Like, did they just stand there pointing their palms at each other, like having a battle of like a Care Bear stare? Like, who's gonna like talk the other guy into like, hey,
battle me in my mind palace, officer.
We can all walk away here, but what if we don't walk away?
You guys hungry? I could eat.
I hope that was a moment for Brian Kelly, too, in case he doubts he's walked into an entirely different situation than coaching Cincinnati or Notre Dame. That at LSU, there's just a guy who will chill as hell, walk onto a field full of 22 very large, muscular, angry men, and just, you know, vibe.
Yeah.
If you rush the field at Notre Dame, 60,000 people would scream, sit down at you. Yeah.
That guy's being loud. His footfalls are troubling me. I like Brian Kelly, our second most cop head coach behind Pat Fitzgerald, having to deal with a situation in which people just stroll around on his field wherever they want. Total breakdown of law and order. And also, Tiger Stadium is the stadium most notoriously broken into by drunk students. Like, there was a while where on one of various blogs, I forget, I think it was SB Nation, where we had a LSU field break-ins tracker. I think Richard Johnson was rating them, star rating them each
time. Weren't they frequently, like, breaking golf carts and shit? And
golf cart, that's instant five-star. If you get a vehicle into Tiger Stadium.
Yeah.
Man, they're literally on Brian Kelly's lawn. It's going to be so rough for him.
Somebody's violating property laws. Returns on capital are below index return.
The Homeowners Association will hear of this.
No, I say I was going to be rough on him, but he's also got to be kind of comfy happy because in this yard, the Homeowners Association is the cops. That's got to make him feel kind of snuggly.
That's true. It's going great. It's going great in Baton Rouge. Super excited.
It's going to be awesome.
Mississippi State comes to town, and it's going to be super fun.
Last night, just an LSU-related note. So Richard and I had to do a segment on the show where we picked whether Texas A&M was going to win or lose things, and we were kind of shocked that we were getting toward the end, and Texas A&M was winning more games than we thought they were going to win. And we really hadn't rehearsed it ahead of time, so we were both kind of mortified that this had happened. But the final game on the schedule is LSU. We looked at it, we're like, so that's a win for Texas A&M. Like, simultaneously, no discussion, just like, yeah, ding. For maximum chaos, let's have Texas A&M shit the bed for a whole season and then immediately clean up against Brian Kelly's first team at LSU.
Jimbo and Brian Kelly in Thanksgiving week.
Who do they have leading, like, in the couple of weeks leading up to that game?
Well, they have UMass, so
okay,
probably dumb.
Things aren't that bad.
Yeah, things aren't that bad yet. But let's see who else they have.
Oh, they got Auburn before that.
Yeah. So listen,
That's who you want.
That's who you want when you want dependable results. Is you want to have Auburn waiting on the calendar. And Florida. So there, the last four games, there's a guaranteed win in UMass and the mixture of Florida, A&M, and
Ole Miss is the
and Ole Miss prior to that.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be quiet and just see what happens. Like, I don't feel the need to really comment on Texas A&M at this point. Just, like, stand to the side and watch in appreciation.
The volume will come. The volume will come regardless of whether we're helping it along.
It's like watching an adult try to do something that you know they can't do. You know, where you're like, okay, you're gonna fix this yourself, huh? All right, I'm just gonna stand over here.
So, like, not a kid, so you don't, you know, no. Like, if it's a kid, you're like, oh, they're gonna hurt themselves, I'm gonna step in.
Yes.
But
yes.
If it's an adult on the ladder that's way too tall,
yep,
they'll probably be fine.
You're just like, you know what? Learn by doing, A&M. That's what you're gonna do. You're gonna learn by doing.
Hey, you guys want to listen to a voicemail?
I would love to.
We got some voicemails here at 704 Soulcast. Hail to Ra, the sun god. I just want to say, on a personal note, as the person who is coming through all these, I really appreciate the number of you who are calling in just to tell us how your Tahoe is running, and the number of you who are calling in just to see how everybody's day is going.
Thank you.
I appreciate this. Mikey in Memphis, area code 804. Server, can we hear that one?
Hi, this is Mikey in Memphis, first time, long time. I don't know if y'all are aware of this, but Virginia, like the University of Virginia Cavaliers, has a traveling trophy with Florida State and has been in possession of it since 2019. Just kind of wanted your thoughts on that. Bye.
I've never heard of this.
Yeah, it.
I'm pulling this up now.
I think it started in the 90s when Virginia, like, immediately won it.
It is called the Jefferson Epps Trophy, okay. And it was created in 1995 and named after Thomas Jefferson and Thomas Jefferson's grandson, who was a two-time mayor of Tallahassee. Like, what a ham-fisted. What a ham-fisted way to put two people together. Oh, okay. Thomas Jefferson, racist slave-owning president, but president nonetheless, and a guy who was mayor of Tallahassee. Like, these two things are not the same. I don't care that they're related.
What is the trophy?
It is a pitcher. It is a kind of silver pewter pitcher on a wood top base. Of a hexagonal wood base.
Just celebrating two people who, as far as I know, weren't in love and basketball.
It is the base of it is made out of a tree that used to be the largest tree on the grounds of UVA, but
now it's dead.
It suffered a fatal tree disease, and they were like, "Well, this isn't a cursed object to turn into a trophy, surely."
Did it say fatal tree disease?
Yes, on Wikipedia it says fatal tree disease.
That's so
Which
non-specific.
Means an Alabama fan had been nearby.
Mm. Yeah, so by the way, Epps in this case, a statue was placed. And then the statue later became controversial because Epps, the half of the trophy's namesake, had a history of expanding slave ownership.
Ah, that's the connection.
Yeah. Just to boost his cotton numbers.
The family business.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes. Small business owner.
Look at that little apple nestled right there next to the base of the tree.
Here's the worst part about this. So the Wikipedia page on this trophy lists like Epps' history of expanding slave ownership and supporting the Confederacy and organizing night watches to catch slaves in the streets of territorial Tallahassee.
Ew.
Here's the fun sentence.
The original thin blue line.
Despite this history, FSU students voted by a large margin, 72% to 28%, to keep the statue in 2016.
Despite is the word that I would quibble with there. 2016, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Despite.
I don't feel like you get to have that and the unconquered statue. You kind of need to make a choice there.
or can I add?
You're really hearing both sides, might I add.
The actual stained glass portrait of Bobby Bowden in the stadium.
But that's just funny.
People think
well,
that's
self-parody. That's fine.
That's like when you get to Bowser's castle and he's got a stained glass of himself. You know?
Bobby Bowser.
That just listen. You know who else has a lot of kids that
you know has a lot of useless kids?
Are a lot of problems.
You know who has Bowser a lot of does. Kids that are easy to defeat in level one?
Yeah.
Excuse me, Wendy Koopa is an absolute Mario Kart ace.
When did you know you were going to conquer the game and beat him? Well, he appointed his son offensive coordinator.
His son
Jeffy
just
Bowser.
Sort of hops around.
Jeff Bowser sounds so natural in the mouth.
Yeah, Jeff Bowser sounds like a 90s Braves pitcher who smoked on the mound.
I'm going to go with...
Can you be more specific?
Yeah.
Ludwig von... Bowden is my personal favorite.
Every time I see Isaiah Bowser for Northwestern, I make the same noise every time. They're like, that's Bowser on the carry. And I quietly to myself on the couch go, "Raw."
I think this makes Miami Mario in this example. Which obviously fits.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're Mario because we're giving people pipe. That's right.
Yeah.
What,
good.
Who's
good?
What is that supposed to be? What voice is that supposed to be?
Dade County, baby. I don't know.
It's Bob Hoskins as Mario.
I got this plant I really like. Makes me put on my white suit, and then it gets hot.
Then I throw fire at anyone. anyone.
I just spit. I start spitting fire.
Spit hot fire. That's what I do.
Why are you doing this, lady? Fucking hot lady.
Miss Hot Ma'am. Listen.
It's what we do.
Yeah. She got kidnapped. You gotta admit, that's realistic.
Yeah, that I broke realistic. Into the wrong I broke into the wrong house again. She wasn't there.
I don't need nobody. My only sidekick's my fucking fitted.
And my brother.
Again?
And you know, if you're short on coins, I know a guy. Level 3-2. You just go.
I know a lot about shrooms as well. Good ones, bad ones, all shrooms.
He's winding down by tuning up his car with a giant parachute on the back. so my haters can watch me float past.
Sometimes a big.
Now
a little.
I want this. This is a problem.
I was skeptical of this at first, Ryan. I'm buying into it now.
Yep.
100%.
Thank you.
Yeah. Also, this makes Florida Wario, which is really.
You wish. Mm. No.
Kinda, yeah, I do wish. God.
You pushed your luck there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jason.
Wario's the best. I'm only quoting Auburn's Wario. Wario.
We all know it.
Who is?
Auburn is Wario. Come on.
Auburn.
It's facts. All they care about is ruining something.
Except including then the meme is, I've lost, but at what cost?
Yeah. God. Like, we're all counting on Penn State beating them this coming weekend.
I forgot that was this week. And
I'm
so
not. I'm not counting on that.
No, I'm not counting on that. I'm not counting on that at all.
Okay, all right. What's funnier?
It's definitely funnier if Auburn wins that game.
It's pretty funny either way.
No,
I don't know, man.
Make the case, Ryan.
Make the
case. What is funny about Penn State beating Auburn? Penn State is a better team than Auburn with a more stable situation.
Auburn lost.
Auburn losing is always funny. It's pretty funny.
But James Franklin is like a counterweight to funny.
Right? Here's what I want you to think. If Penn State beats Auburn, they will do so in a way where you're like, well, I don't agree with every decision they made, but ultimately, like, they were more talented and better organized, and it's fine. If Auburn beats Penn State, I want you to think about what Penn State did in that world. And I want you to think about what Penn State Twitter is going to do in that world. And that's why it's funnier.
I think these are the same thing. I think this is the same team with different logos. One of them doesn't have any because they're
both. That's maybe the most insulting possible.
Penn State is unlicensed Auburn?
Who's an insult? Which side? Both? Who's madder at that comparison? I don't even know.
Penn State is Auburn on their meds?
Yeah,
not
like,
many.
Here's the thing: Penn State is Auburn with
Penn State is Auburn on the wrong meds.
Okay, maybe the meds is like an antiviral or something.
Who's Penn State's Bama? Ohio State?
Currently.
Okay.
Yeah, currently.
Yeah, they get a bullshit win by 2 points every 4 years. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Off something like a blocked punt. Yeah. This makes sense. I will argue.
Red team, blue team.
See, Penn State could actually like has someone to blame because they'll be like, Sean Clifford, right? If Auburn...
Rose Bowl player of the week, week one.
If Auburn loses, it's Bo Nix.
This is actually great because imagine looking at fans of either team and going, you're just like them.
Penn State is just secular
I'm
Auburn.
Try this.
No, it's so disturbing to me because they will blame Sean Clifford. But like, there's no one to point to at Auburn who you're like, oh, it happened because of that guy. Right?
Paul Bryant. Paul Bryant.
Yeah, Paul Bryant.
And Paul Bryant.
Oh, God.
I'll blame Gus at this point.
Yeah.
I think we still got a little meat left on that bone.
Yeah.
Don't throw that away. We can still go there if we want. And we will. We will.
Tupperville.
Yeah, I am looking forward to that happening either way. Hey, you have a voicemail. Can you play? This will get me to what I want to talk about next. Can you play the voicemail from Clancy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let's hear from 402, Clancy from Nebraska.
Hey, this is Clancy from Nebraska. thought we were going to be good this year, and turns out we're not. That's all I got. Go Big Red.
End of voicemail.
I feel bad.
Sorry. Can we play that one more time? Man.
One more time.
Can we play that again?
Hey, this is Clancy from Nebraska. Thought we were going to be good this year, and turns out we're not. That's all I got. Go Big Red.
Sorry.
I'm sorry, Clancy. Your sighs are funny. That's a great voicemail.
I've never heard a pure distillation of the fan existential right, crisis, so, which is, I thought we were going to be good.
So and
we're
not.
So why?
I have a reveal at this point. This voicemail was sent to us on August 27th before.
Oh, my God. And then things got worse.
This is a stray leftover from after the Northwestern game. Clancy, buddy, we hope you're all right.
Yeah, man. It'll be
okay. If you want to give us an update, just let us know you're... let us know you're breathing regular and getting lots of fluids.
There's just so much more Nebraska football to play. Like,
there's
I know, I know they fired Scott Frost, and so that feels like the end in some... But this is kind of like USC last year, where it's sort of like, oh yeah, you still have to play the remaining nine. I regret to inform you, these nine games still have to be played in some way.
Yeah, we're going
to
look up in 2 months, like, oh yeah, they still need a coach.
You still have to play Oklahoma. That's still a thing.
Yeah, and you fired the guy 2 weeks early. It would have saved you $8 million if you wait, or whatever. Plug in the correct numbers. Yeah. And why'd you do that? Well, probably so you can take some air out of Oklahoma's upcoming demolition of you. See, oh, yeah, it doesn't matter. They beat our backup coach. Who cares? Now that I've said that, some crazy bullshit will happen in this game. Yeah. So let me cover my bases with that.
Spencer, you said this was going to get you to something you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, which is Nebraska, because I know people crave Nebraska talk.
Huh. But it's like watching a magician at work.
Citation needed.
Where's he going with this?
I know.
Master orator.
Well, what I was going to go with is this. Who wants
I would
a
like
house?
To discuss the topic brought up by that guy.
We've all done video, but I just want to point out there's one current television professional on this call.
That's right.
It's like, guy.
It's like, what if Perd Hapley was sleepy?
So what I was going to say is somebody needs to buy, if you want a house with a full panic room and bunker in the Lincoln, Nebraska area.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Okay. If you need that, it's available. Okay. And I'll bet it's huge. Because no coach to me is worth.
Scott Frost's house has a panic room.
I'm just betting. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay. Because no coach to me, when he got fired, immediately was like, Soros! Like, no dude is more Q-pilled than this guy. Like, above Urban Meyer levels of above. I really like.
Okay, where would you put it in relation to, like, Shelly Meyer levels?
Shelly's close.
Shelly is Q. So. Yeah. Now, Spencer, is this based on vibes or what?
You're not supposed to say that, Jason. Yeah, this is just vibes. This is just my guess. But look at him. Look at, look at the overall vibe.
The places
he's
lived.
Go look at
who he
follows. Places, yeah. Or listen, Central Florida.
I'm including you, Oregon.
Yeah.
As
oh, yeah.
You should. As you should.
Yeah, as you should. Yeah, the home of Clive and Bundy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You absolutely should include Oregon in this. But I feel really confident saying that there is no coach who has a larger collection of fearsome weaponry he should not own or be allowed to own than Scott Frost.
Nebraska didn't have much weaponry.
To wing cans of corn at him from the sidelines.
I think we...
Look at him, too. He looks like Todd. He looks like Todd from Breaking Bad. He really does.
This is true, it's even more astonishing that they fired him on 9/11. Like, you know he's already in a conspiratorial mood on that day.
That's what I was thinking.
George Bush fired me.
That's how I know this was a firing done with malice. Because it's not like, all right, so if it was just another AD, it would be something different. It would be like, there's a professional AD, and he just wants to get it done, and it's that. No, Trev played for Nebraska, right?
Sure. And he knows how much 9/11 means to these people.
It's not like he deferred to authority there, like, well, he played for this program. No, he's a former player. He's fighting for the identity of the program and believes that he screwed it up. So he's going to be the one who's like, what can I do to achieve maximal, like, circuit overload in Scott Frost? And it's like, I could fire him at exactly the hour. Like, I want to go back and look. I'm like, did he fire him when the first hour hit?
Don't do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Speaking of Trev Alberts, I want to note a quote he gave shortly after firing Scott Frost. Mr. AD, why'd you do this? And Trev Alberts, former, I keep coming out burps. I don't mean to say that.
I think you should lean into it.
Trev Alberts. They said, Mr. Alberts, why'd you do this? And he said, the former Nebraska football player said, we needed to inject something to give them confidence. Nebraska just needed an injection. That's, historically speaking, that's pretty much the case, isn't it? The more Nebraska gets injections, the better they are at football. So this should work pretty great. And Trev Alberts. It's so fun to say. Try it.
Trev Alberts. See yeah, that's pretty is. Good.
I'm just glad my professionalism is contagious.
Albertson's Field.
This makes it even better that he kind of looks like the captain on Pigs in Space from the old Muppet
he totally
show.
Sure. Does.
Yeah.
Captain Alberts.
He looks like Zap Brannigan from Futurama.
Yeah, so Star Wars.
Do you know what I love about that quote?
Director Alberts.
This is a form of speech that is supposed to be, you know, that is supposed to be polite, that is supposed to be removed. But what he's actually saying are, we needed an injection of vitamin, not you.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's we think this will show the players we believe in them so much that we spent an extra $8 million to mm-hmm. get you out early.
Plus $8 million worth of steroids.
Yeah, also that.
I can't wait.
So I got
just one cycle, Nebraska. Just one cycle, you and me. We're
so I got
do
a
it.
Question that we haven't asked yet because we didn't think Nebraska was $8 million mad, and it turns out they were. The question that we were going to ask when they were still considering firing Scott Frost, for whom? Who on earth do you go get now? And I know we say this a lot, but look at everything that's happened. Look who they just brought in.
Mm-hmm.
Look who is the AD. For what? What is your plan?
Trev Alberts. AD
Trev Alberts.
Oh,
yeah.
are we gonna burpee Alvarez?
We're gonna burpee Alvarez situation? This baby.
All right.
The best answer is we have no fucking clue based on how the last like 2 or 3 years of coaching hires have gone. Right? Richard said this on Twitter. Like, if sitting coaches at sitting and also like very well established coaches at Oklahoma and Notre Dame will leave for other jobs, like you can't really put anybody off the table at this point.
Yeah.
No.
The most haunting one is what Godfrey's put it out there. The most haunting one is Urban Meyer. Like that to me is
Christ.
That to me is the one where the further he got into it and the more he discussed how likely this was to emerge as a candidacy, the more like the louder the background music got, right? Like the Hans Zimmer, like
the background music is I'm never gonna dance again.
Yeah.
Like they'll call Bill Belichick, won't they?
I mean, you gotta at least call.
Like, I'm not saying that's gonna happen, and I'm certainly not saying I know anything indicating that's going to happen, but like
Ryan Nam report.
At this reporting, point
he did it.
At this point, like Nebraska, everybody already thinks you're like a little touched. Who lean into it? Just go ahead and like be as batshit as you want to be.
Yeah,
go get used to nut.
I mean, look up
politic openly.
From.
Politic openly, and just be like, yeah, we're good. We're just Trev Alberts should come out. He should go on game day.
Say it without it.
He should go to Boone. He should go on game day, and he should hold up a novelty check and be like, "This is for Nick Saban." Nick Saban, come coach Nebraska. And
no,
just like
thinking,
put it out there.
You're thinking small, man. Condi Rice.
You know,
If we're going to get a war criminal, let's get a war criminal.
A war criminal never abandoned Stanford
let's
like
get
that.
Let's get a war criminal.
No, yeah, that's true.
If we're going
to
hire somebody on 9/11, let's hire somebody on 9/11.
She needs to avenge what Director Alberts did on 9/11.
Just laughing, thinking about the immense psychological spiral.
The only thing I feel at all confident about vis-a-vis the Nebraska head coaching search is it's going to get at least 3 other head coaches extensions and raises that you're just why is that happening? And that's great.
This is where Brian Harsin comes out and says he has no interest in the Nebraska job.
Who is the funniest coach who's going to get a pay raise off of this? Off of the, like, I don't know. Heard he loves Lincoln.
PJ.
If this happened to Marcus Freeman after starting 0-2, that would be pretty good.
Ooh, that's rich.
PJ Fleck is being floated for this job, too. So Holly's on something there.
Hey, I had to listen to a reporter I like personally very much talk yesterday about how he was nigh positive that Matt Campbell was going to take the job. Is that even a lateral move at this point? I'm not talking about like the scope and resources of Iowa State's program next to Nebraska's program. I'm talking about quality of life for what Matt Campbell has built for himself at Ames. Like, how is your life improved by taking this job?
Money's pretty cool, but otherwise, yeah.
Corn.
See, You know how to run for president, you need like, excuse me, you need like a dangerous level of self-belief. Mm-hmm. You need to have the level of self-belief that says, I should be in charge of an entire country, mm-hmm. and not just any country, the United States. I should, like, ultimately, whoever takes this job needs that level of insane self-confidence. Mm-hmm. Like, to say, yes, not only can I will fix Nebraska.
You've got that smile that tells me this is going someplace. And
no,
I'm really not
no, I just,
it.
Like, I just, okay. like, that, that's, all these questions about, like, cultural fit, recruiting chops, and no, you just need somebody crazy enough to think that yeah. they can fix Nebraska.
That's the right mindset. I think my favorite rumor is Mark Stoops. It's been said many, many times.
Because
yeah.
Iowa
really
and Nebraska are the same things.
Like, just imagine going from a place where going 8-4-ish every year
hero.
Makes yeah. you beloved and makes John Calipari shit himself. And going to a place where 8-4 gets you fired, oh. apparently.
All right, here. But here's
not recently. It's been a yeah. while, but
here's a scenario I'd like to embrace. Nebraska announces in a very unusual move that Mark Stoops will take the job, but they're going to let him coach out the rest of the year at Kentucky, and Kentucky's fine with this. Iowa continues its season. In 2 months, let's say, Kirk Ferentz announces he's done. He's stepping down, and Brian is not getting the job. And Iowa swoops in, and like TCU going to the Big East but never showing up, whoa. Iowa poaches Mark Stoops, Nebraska head coach, before he's even coached a game there.
That is like, some sick shit.
That would, yeah, that's what I want to see.
Nebraska has to counter with Mike.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have to. You definitely don't
like
have
Lutheran
to.
Fires.
You wanted a Stoops.
Yeah, you're going to get a Stoops.
Where I is would Mike Stoops? Is he at Alabama?
Kirk Ferentz coming out and lobbying against the hire of
his linebackers
own son
coach for his
amazing.
Brother at Kentucky.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. Man, that smacks of being like you have to take your brother if you're going to the pool.
It really does. I would not.
You can only go to the skating rink if you take your brother.
Kirk Ferentz is not going to get Brian that job because he's not like he'll list his dad as a reference, and then when he calls, he'll be like, "Don't hire this guy."
Kirk Ferentz, like, I never heard of him. I have no son.
Yeah, no, sorry, that man is a fraud and a liar. You could get people on Cameo to say anything!
I'm kind of surprised this hasn't happened before, or at least more often.
Bob knew.
Bob?
You think?
I'm going with Bob knew.
Well, I'm going to answer, first of all, question one. Does Bob give a fuck?
No.
No. No.
Also, are all these people connected by Iowa, including Bob? Yes.
Yes.
Ooh. Yeah.
Bob knew.
Did Bob know? I'd say chances are 98% Bob knew.
Everybody's like, oh, they tricked him. They tricked Bob into saying this thing. And I'm like, nah. Bob's a smart guy. Bob knew.
I bet it was in the queue and he bumped it to the top. He's like, oh, this is a good one.
He's like, oh, like you think Bob Stoops, who oversaw some of the best offenses in football history, likes seeing the final scores posted by his alma mater?
Mm, yeah. Yeah, Bob knew.
Bob likes 70 points. Bob doesn't like 7.
Bob took a tumbler full of tequila and said, let's fire up Cameo.
He called up his close friend, Cedric the Entertainer, and said, watch this show.
I have decided I will cause problems.
Kevin Hart sitting just out of frame.
Because here's yeah, the other thing.
Good, Bob! That's good!
Unless Bob Stoops has mangled his finances in a way that's truly incomprehensible, which might be true, Jeez. Bob Stoops doesn't need to be on like, of the people who are on Cameo, Bob Stoops is not one of those that you're like, oh, I get why he's doing that.
I mean, he's working in the XFL. So
you're saying he's on there...
There might have been a bad real estate
start
deal.
Shit.
I choose to believe that, yes.
For the pleasure of starting shit. Okay.
Yes. No, Dave Wanstead is on Cameo because it's like, oh, you put all your money in sandwiches, Dave.
Dave Wanstead is on Cameo because he genuinely believes that we do not know enough about sandwiches, and he feels that it is his sovereign duty to pass this stuff along, and Cameo is just going to put the greatest amount of resources, i.e. his brain cells, where they are needed the most.
It's that, and I also believe that Dave Wanstead is of that specific kind of boomery mentality where $50 is magic, no matter, oh, you'll get me $50!
Dude, what kind of shit are you talking? $50 is magic, motherfucker.
There's that boomer mentality.
If you handed me, $50 cash, if I gave you $50 cash, do you know what in your head you'd think? You'd be like, I could buy a new toy with this. This is like, great. That never goes away.
Folks, on your birthday, Spencer will send you a check for $5.
$5. It won't clear, but I will send it.
Wow.
Oh.
That's a lot of money. Look at Ryan Big Buddy Bags. Ryan Big Dollars.
I'm just saying,
dismissing
Bob,
out of touch, like liberal.
Coastal elite, as usual.
Fucking Dr. Oz over here. Elite.
Yeah. Out on that river boat in Blunt County.
Me and my big biscuit mansion over here.
Jesus Christ.
Just sitting there with all the ladies going, oh, Big Biscuit, roll them again.
I'm sorry, Holly. I made him do it that time. That's on me.
Yes,
that one's my fault.
But it was in a riverboat gambling scenario
where he
was being cheered on.
Don't mention my favorite things just to get you out of trouble.
Oh, he's hot tonight. Yeah, he knew is the point. Wanstead's on Cameo because he likes mixing it up. I guarantee you he would put it that way, right?
I like Holly's sandwich theory, that Dave Wanstead can make any cameo about sandwiches. And
have you ever seen a Dave Wanstead cameo that's not about sandwiches? I haven't.
Nope. That's why he's
incredibly valuable.
That's why he can't be on TV too much. He'll just redirect every conversation to sandwiches. Although I would watch CNN's election report with Dave Wanstead.
Him and the touchscreen man. That's all we want. Breaking down parts of a sandwich.
If you're still in line at Subway, stay in line. They have to serve you. I'm kidding. Dave
Just because they can't call it fish doesn't mean you shouldn't eat it.
It's good. Just go down there. Get you one of them not fish sandwiches.
You're not better than this.
Support local art.
Hey, we got another voicemail.
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
Server, can we hear? Can we hear from 770 who did not leave his name?
Hey, guys. I'm on the way to work, and I just thought you would want to know that I almost wrecked my truck because during your celebrity first pitch discussion, I just kept imagining, like, Betty White going in there and, like, hanging one high and then just getting fucking smoked by Bryce Harper, because I just feel like that's who would do it. And, like, that's how we lost Betty White. Like,
wow.
After all the things that woman survived, she gets smoked by 102-mile-an-hour line drive to the chest. Anyway. Bye.
Goodness.
R.I.P. Betty
White. Probably for the best, no name was attached to that.
Thank you, area code 770, which is parts of Atlanta.
You can't slander the dead, unless you live in Scotland, apparently. In which case, you could be arrested for slandering the dead.
Man.
There's one dead you can slander.
That's right. Apparently, in this case, Betty White.
Andrew Jackson.
Saying she wouldn't have a glove up. I bet Betty White would have caught that. She's not getting caught sleeping. She's gonna catch that ball. I am glad somebody's
We all agree that Bryce Harper would throw on an old lady, though, right?
Yeah, he's swinging. He's letting it happen.
Yeah.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little band called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right. Even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTimes.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
I'm going to continue to make fun of Jimbo Fisher for, like, I think you can get like a good month out of this.
We've already talked about A&M. I have to keep making fun.
We don't have to talk about A&M. I'm talking about Jimbo.
Making fun of what? Like, they're going to keep losing football games. Of course we can keep making fun of them.
Of course we can. Like, they're going to do that. And the fact that this is the most... I think you will end up getting, like, the worst return per win of any coach in history if we look at the numbers.
If we look at the numbers... Really?
No. I just want to, like, quantify it.
Okay.
Like, get it down to a fine number.
I'm not saying this is going to happen. But if you wanted to set Miami up for the most demoralizing circumstance in which they could lose to A&M.
Oh, no.
It's if they do it right after App State beats A&M. Like, if you are looking for the 1-2 punch, this is how it happens.
That's brutal.
I'm not saying it will. But if you were just like, hey, how can I set a trap for Miami fans who are feeling good about their team, and probably more specifically their team in the ACC as a whole, which has been a very confusing conference so far. Uh-huh. Not that it isn't.
No. No.
This is it. This is it. Because, like, it's still a ranked team. We can talk about the rankings. That's a whole separate... Oh, God. I love the rankings because... There's the stupidest thing in the world, but
DraftKings.
This is how you do that.
Yeah, no, it's this is there are so many confusing, like, week two is supposed to be sleepy. It wasn't. Week three, if you look ahead, it's supposed to be sleepy. It won't be. There are so many things on here that could go so very wrong, right? Like, what Nebraska and curses among curses if their interim coach manages to actually take those one score games. This is my greatest fear, by the way, that they have so many one score games on their schedule, and if they fire the head coach and it turns out to be the problem, I will laugh my ass off that Scott Frost was actually worth a negative of 3 to 7 points per game just by being there. That's when you're like, because the whole time I kept thinking, you fired somebody for $7.5 million, men are too emotional to coach or run football. Like, I just kept hearing Holly say that, right? Like, should we let men coach football?
They're so dramatic.
So dramatic, so emotional. Spending $8 million when you could have just waited 3 weeks to do it. That is the most, like, toddler-ass decision, right? Like, Do you want a cookie now or two later? They're like, cookie now! Like, that's essentially Nebraska.
The marshmallow experiment has been widely debunked.
You know what? It has been widely debunked, except in my house, where this works every damn time. Okay. I'm willing to accept the anecdotal evidence of my own experience.
Oh,
for
you
that.
Don't mean on your children. You mean you.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, me. I fail the marshmallow experiment every time, and so did Nebraska. Right?
Yes, I believe.
But if they do something like they win some of these one score games, they're like, oh no, maybe we should let the interim have it. Poison. Absolute poison. Like, don't even start to think about that. Georgia, South Carolina. I feel like whatever you say about that is going to be wrong. Right? If you're like, well, South Carolina's going to blow them out. I'm like, no, Spencer Rattler will probably throw like two crazy touchdowns no one else would even think about trying. It'll also throw five picks. Like, if you want to see a quarterback throw five picks, brother, Georgia, South Carolina might be the one. That might be the one you want to line up for if you're in for the full Hennig if you want to see somebody just throw.
Ooh, have we seen a full Hennig since we saw the original Hennig?
I believe so, but not one that was like the primetime game. Mm. Not one that was like on national television and is the only thing for everyone to watch.
Ancient ones among you will remember Mississippi State's Michael Hennig throwing six?
Yeah, Michael Hennig. Yeah, he threw six.
Which I have always loved, because what do you say to him after four?
Keep going, man.
This isn't a joke. What do you say to him after four?
You don't. It's like a pitcher throwing a no-hitter, but the opposite. You just don't say anything.
We just look at him and go, you can't unthrow it. Nope. You can't unthrow the fourth. So get out there and throw the fifth. Just go. Keep going, man.
You can't throw your fifth interception without throwing the first four. You stand right on the shoulders of failure, Giants.
We got to make a live, laugh, love plaque that says that exact thing.
So our buddy Ace Anbender pointed out something to me recently that's deeply funny. In the direction of Notre Dame. Notre Dame on their roster. Notre Dame is going through a quarterback change because Tyler Buchner is injured and is going to miss an extended period. That sucks. Not rooting for anybody to get injured, but the interesting thing is that Notre Dame, I have never seen another school do this. On their official roster, they have heights and weights listed, but they have like an astonishing amount of precision attached to the heights. Like one punter on the roster is listed as at 5'10 and 5/8 inches.
Oh boy.
And I say this because Drew Pine, who's now the new starter, is listed as at 5'11 and a half, which is just like
what?
Like
pumpkin.
Like the fact that you can't just say like, yep, here's our 6 foot tall quarterback standing tall back there slinging the nope.
I know it. I mean, we've discussed this before, but I know the deal. Mm-hmm. He said he was 6 feet tall once, and somebody's like, "Yeah, bro, no, line up, let's go."
No, but if you say
no,
if you say you're 5'11 and a half, you're 5'9".
Yeah, possibly.
I think I'm doing the conversion math in my head, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
I agree with that.
Are you saying that basically like Tinder profiles equal roster listings, mm-hmm. right?
This is so much dating profile trutherism on the roster here.
If you say, I'm trying to remember the sliding scale. If you say you're 5'8", you're 5'5".
The shortest player on the roster is a kicker who's, the long snapper is listed at 5'7". There's a kicker who's listed at 5'7 and 3/8". And what? It's like, God, you couldn't even give him half?
Is this the NFL combine? Why do we need to... Why do we need to put this 19-year-old's business on blast like that?
Yeah. It's just astonishingly specific. I love it.
Just put it all out there, man. Hemorrhoids.
Freckles.
Freckles. Weird mole. Just put those out there if you're going to get that precise.
It's sort by skin ache. Tags.
Yeah. It's a tummy ache when he eats after six.
He's got IBS. It's a superpower.
Last time peed the bed. Wow, 3 weeks ago. Look at that.
Well, that goes for Notre Dame's whole team.
This is also how I came to realize that Ron Powis III is a quarterback on this roster.
No relation, right?
Correct.
Okay.
They just, Ron Palace Labs can't stop making the new Ron Palace. Just keeps dropping them.
There is a game on the schedule I want to draw attention to. It includes the number one scoring team in the country. It includes the four games combined that these two teams have played. Three have gone to overtime. The high scoring team, they have won both their games by multiple scores each, despite playing one in overtime. One of the games of the week, Kansas-Houston. Based on, it's what the math says, what the card says. Kansas-Houston is it's a good football game. And there is absolutely nothing objectively better for at least half of it once Penn State-Auburn ends. So Kansas-Houston, just be aware, be advised.
Watch grid is grim this week.
Oh, no.
I know
excited
Houston,
to watch Kansas Jayhawks.
I know Houston's not ranked anymore. But would a Kansas win crack them into the rankings at 3-0 at this point?
It could. How close are they?
I mean,
Two Kansases getting votes. There's R and state are getting votes.
No votes. God damn.
Voters are just blind. They not just can't believe what happened.
Not a single vote for Kansas.
You got fucking Oregon ranked, but not Kansas.
All right, we're starting a campaign. A campaign. Let's go.
Why is A&M ranked?
Get Kansas in there. That's very wrong.
I think so. Here's the thing that should probably have LSU fans the most worried is that Florida State is not ranked despite being 2-0 and beating LSU. Like, think about what that means.
See, that makes perfect sense to me.
Think about what that means, that they're like, yeah, you know who should stay ranked? 1-1 Oregon, who got fucking blasted off the map by Georgia. 2-0 FSU, who went to Louisiana and beat LSU. Nah, not worth it.
There's just so much inertia to the rankings. Like, pollsters don't like to, like, fuck all these teams. Put some new teams in there. Like, you have to, you must slide this team down X number of spots. But fuck that. Start over. Start from scratch every single week.
When you log in, they shouldn't let you look at your previous week's rankings.
Yeah, exactly.
I will say, it does make it much funnier when they do shit like drop Texas A&M 18 spots. Like, that to me is actually funnier than dropping them out.
Oh, God, that's a real number right there. Yes. Good
that's
Lord.
Almost enough spots.
Spencer, welcome back.
Yes. I just know, as if it was, like, they have, I don't think I've ever seen down 18, like, the little arrow being, like,
I mean, it's not, I
fuck
mean,
this particular
it's not,
spot.
It's not the biggest either. Biggest ever. Michigan had a minus 21 plus.
Notre Dame dropped, I guess, 18, we would call it.
That's amazing.
Because when you drop straight out of the rankings, you don't get the arrow and number. You just don't get any of it. But there's 0-2 Notre Dame with 23 votes and Kansas with none. How is this fair?
Justice for Kansas football.
Justice for fucking Kansas.
I just looked this up. A&M dropping 18 spots is the second largest drop by a team that remained ranked. Teams have fallen from higher all the way out of the rankings, but this and 09 Cal are the farthest anyone has ever dropped, with people still for some reason putting him in the top 25.
We still let him in the rich man's club, but we put him in a big chair that said poorest rich man. That's what this is.
We made him sit behind Pittsburgh.
Yeah. he has to wear a top hat, but 'tis broken. 'Tis floppy.
This is exciting.
And disambulated.
Week 4, 2009, Cal and Ole Miss dropped 18 and 17 spots.
Why?
And stayed ranked. Stayed ranked.
Why?
I don't even know who left the rankings.
Jesus Christ.
This shit's
also,
new.
Wait.
That's not okay.
More? There might be even more.
That's incredible. I have
Jason's eyes just started to glow. I don't know.
Honestly, the coaches poll is like in the AP poll. Yeah. They're in the 20. They're 24th. The coaches poll left them at 22nd.
Yeah, the coaches poll has that.
The coaches poll
even more inertia, where it's like you want to move them more than two spots. That'll expend way too many of my calories for the day.
Do you want? I have a. While you look at that, I have.
I'm not scrolling this Excel sheet that far. Fuck you. I barely know how to work it.
Done. I've never heard of half these fucking teams.
I bet that is half of why there's poll inertia, is that the people who fill these out, they're just like, oh, God, this drop down menu. Oh, Jesus Christ. No, absolutely not. No,
it's
I live
in
Albania.
It's 2 in the fucking morning. I'm adult and I'm hurt and I'm tired.
Oh, no, what did I do?
I live in Albania. I just want to be done with this.
Yeah, we make fun of the coaches poll for not having coaches fill it out, but I think the most egregious offenses on it are committed by coaches actually filling it out themselves. Like, when they do fill it out themselves, that's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the SIDs know what's up.
Do you think there are any coaches who do their own taxes?
Oh,
Dana for sure.
You were saying that Bob Stoops is on Cameo. So based on that information, I'm going to say that Bob does his own taxes and he's made some mistakes.
Now, when you say do taxes,
sure.
It doesn't necessarily imply pay taxes, right?
It doesn't imply file, no.
Okay.
No. Dana Holgorsen is a sovereign citizen. Just like the Pope.
Yeah, Dana just writes down a number on a piece of paper. It's like $73, and he sends it in. And the IRS has 23 of those in a backlog, and they're like, "We'll get to whatever that bullshit is when we have enough people to investigate it." Dana's like, "I do it every year. It's great."
Oh my god! Sorry, we got a reader mail I want to read.
Yeah,
from Eli Pretzel.
Hello, Mr. Pretzel.
Ms. Pretzel.
I'm sorry. Excuse you. Hello, Ms. Pretzel.
Was trying to find Shut Down Fullcast merch store and thought it was 29snakes.com. It's not. Now, we own 24, 25, and 26snakes.com. I've never really ventured further up the scale to see what's happening at 29.
Ha, 29 scale. Snakes. I get it.
We are a Bay Area ball python snake breeder. We are back, baby. After 2 years off, we are officially back in business. This year, we let our son take control of breeding, and he came up with some fun combos and morphs. I am reading this next sentence verbatim. We cannot wait to see what pops out of these eggs.
Same. I feel like you should know. Same. I feel like if you're a snake breeder, you should have a high degree. It should not be like those fucking pills you drop in the tub when you're four and are like, what foam animal will this be? It shouldn't be question mark.
Folks, we are not affiliated with 29snakes.com.
Not yet.
But we are accepting sponsorship offers at this time.
I got to tell you, I know COVID hit a lot of businesses hard.
What did they do during the 2 years they were out of business with their existing snakes?
Just snake just for the love of the game.
Like, just bred
snakes, on an amateur basis for college credit.
I guess? Like, why'd you stop?
I don't like
even more snakes.
I don't like professional snakes. I like when the snake handler's not getting paid. It's more enjoyable.
Here's another AP fun fact. A new record this week. All this is from collegepollarchive.com. Texas jumping from 98th to 21st after almost beating Alabama is the biggest jump by fucking far of any team that ever lost. Usually you have a really good showing against number one. Maybe you go up a spot despite losing. Right. Texas vaulted. There's nobody else on the list in the last decade who's done it more than two spots. Texas jumped 77 spots after a loss.
You ever wonder if we're too powerful, proclaiming Texas back? You know,
we the internet.
No, us
specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If we are, then Texas owes us money. Texas probably owes a lot of people money. They just seem like they're not good at paying.
You don't get rich by paying people, yo. What they're owed.
You get rich by paying them in horses. That's what I learned. Trump tried to pay someone with a horse.
Jason, I'd like to congratulate your alma mater on being the only team in the FCS coaches poll to be ranked despite being 0-2.
Yeah, see, that's lazy as fuck. That's
best 0-2 team in the country.
That's just that they started 11th, so they can't fall that far. Yes. I think we have like 9 points on the year. That's fucking lazy.
They did like yes. They had to play Cincinnati. Cincinnati's a very good football team. Totally get it. But they also lost to Samford, who I don't think is ranked at this point. And they didn't lose that game particularly close. I mean, it was a 10-point game, so close-ish, but it's just like, all right, cool. I'm glad that polls are broken at every level.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That makes me feel better.
And at lower levels, you're going to find even more, like, low-information voting, let's say. Like, if it's D3, it's like, I really don't know who won that game. I'm just going to guess.
I have a stat for you, Jason, but I need to ask you a question first. As a quarterback this year, how many completions of over 15 yards through the air do you have?
I don't have any yet.
Okay. So
season's young.
In an officially sanctioned game.
Okay, that's cool. So you and Bryce Young have something in common.
Wow.
Bryce Young hasn't completed a pass that traveled 15 yards through the air this season. He's in the vauntedly defensive SEC, he's the only quarterback who hasn't done that. He's 0-6 on those attempts, and only two of those attempts were outside the hashes. So if you wanted like a literal illustration of how Alabama doesn't have wide receivers this year that can go further than 10 yards, that's it. And two games, dude doesn't have it. at all.
Well, poor fucking ULM is going to experience several of those. God. That, like, not only is this the get right game, not only is ULM woefully under-resourced to an absurd degree, even against, like, Vanderbilt, let alone Alabama. Nick Saban personally hates ULM and said this week that he remembers when he lost to them, even though, as Ryan pointed out, no one at the entire university was there at the time. There might be a history professor or something.
The coach,
that doesn't fucking matter.
The man who was coaching ULM at that point now, like, runs a religious charity in Orlando. He's completely out of football.
Yeah, well, Saban's coming for it. Saban's going to play in the damn Citrus Bowl just to see that guy again.
So, Bama has, despite its unprecedented success over the last, 15 years-ish. Bama fans are not hesitant to turn on a coordinator that they don't like. If ULM hangs around in a low-scoring half, what will happen to Bill O'Brien at this point? Bill O'Brien already, you know, not like the most beloved man on football internet.
How come?
Where to begin?
Hey,
you
know
what? Do you want to talk about Bill O'Brien, the confusing GM who hates himself? Or Bill O'Brien, the in-game decision maker who hates everyone else?
I might start to see his name come up associated with that Nebraska job.
Oh my God.
That's what I think. Now I'm going to say, no. Follow me. What other coach has gone to a troubled program, been the tweener coach who in 2 or 3 years turned them around, and yes, injected some much needed stability into that program?
And who's done
it twice? We can laugh at a lot of things. Bill O'Brien. Yeah. No.
Who was the only sane person in the building at Penn State and the Houston Texans?
It is.
When he was at Penn State, he was very nice to me one time when the full cat interrupted an interview we were doing.
I don't want to.
Thanks, Bill.
I don't want to totally discount his Penn State years, but it is telling that the only years where people have, like, glowing things to say about Bill O'Brien as a coach were the years with the lowest possible expectations. The absolute floor.
Perfect.
Like, every other time when it's been like, all right, Bill, we would like to see progress and growth, he's like,
no matter what, Bill's going to get you average. That's what he's going for.
If you are
way fucking below average, he's your guy.
Are you astonished that your boyfriend didn't just throw garbage on the ground when he was done with it? Bill O'Brien, new boyfriend.
You are dating Bill O'Brien. He's your Bob friend.
Yeah, because the guy before you, he brought that bar all the way down to the floor in the basement, right? If you're astonished.
Where Scott Frost has his panic room.
Where Scott Frost is sitting in his panic room scrolling some of the most horrifying websites known to mankind.
Bill O'Brien doesn't know what the internet is, Nebraska. Wouldn't you prefer that? Look at that handsome chin. Look at that handsome chin and send that man a DM.
Can't believe Turd Alberts fired me. That Scott Frost group chat's got to be lit. It's got to be so good.
Who's in the Scott Frost group chat?
So you got Jesse Plemons, Brock Lesnar, all the guys who look like Scott Frost.
Yeah. It's just a collection of gigantic, doughy-looking white
just
guys.
Just a collection of that guy.
Sure. Lena Dunham, for some reason.
Sometimes I feel like you guys are making fun of me. Yeah, we are.
Hey, let's go to the voicemail.
Yeah.
Can we hear from 479 server?
Hey, this is Kent Cottle, aka Pirate George on Twitter. I just have a call to let people know, as a longtime Arkansas fan, yes, you are correct. The old cold beer that Sam Pittman is enjoying after the game is a Hams. The reason isn't to facilitate a whole hog half Hams joke.
Why not?
The reason is, and my apologies if this causes undue yiffing and scritching with the college football furry cognoscenti, but the reason is that you can superimpose the old 70s Hams beer bear mascot
over any still photo or video of Sam Pittman with his voice included, and no one would even know that it was a bit. They were made for each other. Go Hogs. Thanks for all you do.
I didn't get to the furry part.
I'm going to, by the way, I'm going to, in the chat, share a link to that image. You judge it live. Okay? Okay. Oh, shit, fire. Hold on. Video.
Server, leave this in.
That's what I do. Yeah, because I'm the professional. That's what I do.
The Bill O'Brien of podcasting.
All right, while we're waiting on Spencer, did you guys hear that University of Utah police are investigating reports that two female students wore body paint in lieu of tops to the Utes football game at Rice-Eccles Stadium on Saturday?
Yes, I actively need to investigate this thoroughly.
Witnesses said the body paint was applied to depict T-shirts.
That's
the security guards just let them walk by, which is great.
Like, what a way to say that you've never seen tits before. Yeah.
Johnson.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, no. Okay. All right. Hang on. Sorry. Okay.
Please.
One fan, YouTube influencer Malia Johnson. No. I'm so glad that she told you that was her job. Posted on Instagram that security personnel allowed two topless girls to enter the stadium gate. Our first reaction is to create like a wall or shield in front of our children so they can't see it. Blah, blah, blah. Johnson, who has had season tickets to U football for 20 years, said she and her husband were excited to take their children, ages 10 and 13, to their first game. But the experience soured after they saw the two young women. She said, I would like to hear from the kids.
Yeah, no, it didn't sour. They were like, the game was awesome.
The 13-year-old likely disagrees.
Okay.
This is the best part. The paint on the young women's backs was applied in a very haphazard manner, Johnson said.
We hate a sloppy costume.
So this judgmental.
Is via KS. That's her actual problem.
Tried to paint your own back?
Crafted right.
That's right. That's right.
I believe I have found the Instagram post from this woman in question.
This actually isn't illegal, by the way.
Yeah, no, it's totally legal. This is from her Instagram account. This is the caption. There were two, all caps, topless girls yesterday at the Utah football game. This is the first time bringing my two kids to the game. So excited. No one seemed to stop them. No one did anything with an exclamation point. And then, is this literally what our world is coming to? Well, yeah, they were physical form. So yeah, this is
Utah state code is silent on whether body paint is considered a body covering.
Yeah. We can't even go to a family friendly college football game. Ma'am. I'm going to stop you right there. Family-friendly college football game, always a negotiable term, okay?
Well, I mean, I think there is a lot of loaded assumption about what family-friendly means. This seems incredibly friendly to me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. It appears, by the way, this couple has...
Two girls ready to feed babies? What's wrong with you, Malia?
Yeah. It appears that... would this be okay? Would you be okay with this at your team stadium? Especially with your kids there? Okay, well, we were asking about, did the kids enjoy it? It appears they have two kids. I'm going to send you the Instagram post in question. I know which one of the kids really enjoyed this.
Oh, boy.
It looks like both of them thought it was pretty funny. If that's what they're thinking about here.
This is not actually a picture where you, want to... Yeah, everybody looks real happy in this picture. Notice that Dad has mirrored shades on also.
Yes, dear, I agree. It's appalling. Just appalling. Sorry, what society has come to.
I need a follow-up comment from Supermom Britt. Sounds like I'm writing a letter to the U. We can't bring in our own food, but we can go topless. That sounds like a good deal.
Yeah.
It sounds like she spells it, we can go topples.
Also, if you're lactating, you can bring your own food, it turns out.
All right. Oh, yeah, someone's food, yeah.
So this team,
I am
college
disappointed.
Is for widening your definition of what is and is not food.
I am disappointed that Utah is not playing BYU this year, because I would really love if the Utah student section was like, that's it. It's all tits out for the BYU team.
Man, listen, the Utah student section, which is I'm trying to think of a place where they would have less luck of catching two topless girls, you're not going to find a place more unified and more hive-minded. This is a compliment than the Utah student section.
This is that.
They are going to circle the wagons around these girls. They are in
Quick-Sec. We're going hogs out for the holy war.
Hogs out. This is for everyone involved.
Coming into the world as God made me.
Every time we get a sack on third down, pull that sack out.
Hang brain for every touchdown we hang on them.
This is that Smithers image with him at the strip club where the strip club. They're like, no.
What I really love is the amount of investigative resource that
yes!
we're investigating. Yeah, yeah. Brother, that's too many syllables already.
But does it actually mean Utah's like, yes, well, fine. We have our top minds are on it. We will spare no expense.
Were these like, the breasts that you saw? No, those weren't the ones.
Yeah, you're
is this the assignment you give to your best cop or your worst cop?
Okay, and taking from the common protest logic of they can't arrest us all, how many topless people can you actually arrest on in a stadium in a given day? It's like Thomas Crown Affair, right? You turn around, there's like nip, nip, nip.
I think yeah. The fact that the Philadelphia Eagles jail only houses, I don't know, 10, 20 people, that's probably
that's mostly
the number,
for topless men, to be clear.
But Holly just said people. So like if Philly can't do more than 10 or 20, that's got to be the upper limit.
Yeah, far be it from me to say that dudes cannot also show their nips. Let them out.
Nipple's a nipple.
This is what happens when Utah plays one road game in Florida. One. Next thing you know, it's all.
We're never coming back.
Yeah. It's all, oh, you don't need shirts? This
is why we're boycotting Disney.
No, I learned a lot about my football team, and I learned a lot about myself this weekend.
Of all the schools where I thought this might happen, Utah is bottom 20. Easy, out of all 130 schools, like bottom tier.
It's also great because BYU can use this for negative recruiting, but it won't work.
What, like Spencer, the least likely for
the least
someone
likely
to do it or someone to complain?
Someone to do it. Someone to do it. The BYU recruiting angle on this is hilarious, though.
There's a there's a boomerang effect when you get out of college and some of these households and get out in the world the first time that I don't think you're taking into account here.
Perhaps. I think there's a level of we are not BYU. Watch me prove it. to consider here.
Yeah, don't go to Utah. You might see nudity.
I think Utah is like people associate us with BYU where they keep their shirts on. You know what we should do?
So this is brand. This is brand.
We should not wear shirts.
Yeah.
Salt Lake titties.